absolute nonsense, absolute trash league, makes absolutely no sense.
Buccaneers fans, the Ira Kaufman podcast is back. And it is a fabulous weekend edition. The Sage of Tampa Bay Sports is here. He's the Baron of Big Storm Beer, Mr. Bill Curry Ford. If you're new to the podcast, Ira is also Uncle Ira, the custodian of Canton, Tampa's only Hall of Fame voter. We appreciate you subscribing at Apple Podcasts, Podbean, Google Podcasts, wherever. I'm Steve Isbitz of Joe Bucks Fan. Lee DeKemper of Joe Bucks Fan is here. And all the fun is presented by Bill Curry Ford. Look, you know you're shopping for a vehicle. You got to shop at Bill Curry Ford, a mile north of Raymond James Stadium, BillCurryFord.com. That's where you can start online, look at their inventory, and you can order a vehicle, no deposit. And for doing that, Sean Sullivan's going to give you cash and gift cards and an Ira Kaufman discount. Sean's the general manager at Bill Curry Ford. He's our JoeBucksFan.com draft guru. You can listen to the Best in Class podcast. That's Sean's podcast presented by Bill Curry Ford. But the nationwide lifetime warranty on new and used vehicles is alive and well at Bill Curry Ford, a Tampa tradition for 60 plus years. Big Storm Beer is the official beer of the Ira Kaufman podcast. A lot of great basketball to watch this weekend, Sage. And there's nothing quite like a Big Storm beer to enjoy it with. You know that you have plenty in your refrigerator. And of course, they're at the tap rooms in Odessa, Clearwater, the flagship location with their gorgeous outdoor patio with live music, the Amway Center in Orlando, Cape Coral, Ybor City coming soon, BigStormBrewery.com. That's where you can find Big Storm in your neighborhood. If it's not at Publix, if it's sold out, go to BigStormBrewery.com, stick in your zip code, and you can find where to buy the Bromosa, the Wavemaker Amber Ale, Tropic Pressure Golden Ale, Bay Beer, so many greats in the Big Storm family, Sunny Key Lime, whatever it is. And of course, our thanks to Florida's Elite Restoration. That's the first phone call 24/7 for a free assessment in your home. If you find mold, have a disaster, fire damage, water damage, wind damage, flood, Florida's Elite Restoration. Sage, I heard your tennis game was good this morning. You have toweled off, thankfully. You have put clothes on. How are you?
Gentlemen, in stark contrast to my usually bubbly personality, I'm going to start with a rant worthy of Mad Dog Russo, Lee. And you might nod your head in agreement with me, and this is going to come out of left field, gentlemen. We haven't discussed this. Gentlemen, I'm going to address this to the Buccaneers public relations staff. And my pointed remark is this. Can you give members of the local media more than 3 freaking hours notice when you're going to have people in studio for live interviews? Can you? Can you do it the night before instead of 9:30 in the morning and then trot them out at noon? I mean, Lee, I'm at Publix. I'm at the dry cleaners. I'm picking up my drugs, which is always an adventure. Lee, people live busy lives. I mean, where is the forward-looking thinking? Does everything have to be on a 2 or 3 hour notice here at the Kemper? Where am I off base?
You know, I'm a 21st century guy. If they're going to stream these press conferences, and I'm very thankful they do, I have no desire with gas being, what, $7 a gallon or whatever the hell it is now. I have no desire to drive down to Tampa to be in that poisonous media room.
They all want to welcome you with open arms. Open arms.
They do or they don't.
They can't wait to see you, DeKemper. You brighten their day.
Well, I hate to say it, but that's not exactly on my to-do list. If I have a question that really needs to be answered, I'll get there. Or I'll find someone to ask it for me. Now, if it's a practice, an open practice, that's different, completely different animal.
Was there the other day, Lee? You might have had a question for Light. You might have.
Might have, but I've talked to him several times already. So, are you going to see him next week, Ira?
I believe me and his bits will crawl up Light's backside like two scorpions on a wall.
There you go. So.
Ira, I'll agree with you in principle, Sage, but I have to assume, this is just my logical mind at work, Ira, I have to assume they just don't want a lot of media there. It's happened a few times in the course of free agency, and if you want a lot of media there, then you reach out the night before and you say, hey, most likely we're going to be doing this, and most likely an announcement confirming will come first thing in the morning. So for whatever reason, the Bucks didn't want a huge crowd there of media. Otherwise, you try to give maximum notice. So I don't know why that is, but you know, I'm sure they have a good reason.
Lee, I don't understand that. If that's the philosophy, it's all positive. You're bringing out Logan Ryan. You know, you're bringing out new guys. It's all good publicity for the team. I don't understand why you would want to limit access in that way.
Again, this is a non-issue for me. You know, I don't know their reasoning behind it, but it's not like they're hiding the guys. I don't need to be there, need to be seen. You know, I won't say the guy's name, but there used to be a guy there that was basically taking attendance. Who's there and who's not? I mean, I'm appreciative when they give me a heads up. Under different circumstances, I would be there. Once again, if that was a practice or if that were coaches, you know, to me, the players are mostly cliches. They don't really reveal a whole lot. Logan Ryan did. That was pretty cool. As long as it's available online, as long as it's available streaming, I'm not tied up in knots. If it's a practice, I'm there. If they got coaches availability, which they'll probably have next month, I'm there.
Steve, just to put a bow on it, not to belabor the point, Steve, but I might throw this out there too. It's been almost 2 weeks since the dramatic, sensational announcement that number 12's coming back under center. Where is the availability for Thomas J. Brady? Where is it, Steve?
The answer is Brady doesn't want to do it. Ends of story,
bingo.
Period. Brady's in charge of Brady. There's no league rule like there is during the season that says Brady has to chat with media midweek. So he's just not going to do it. If he's going to talk, he'll do it on a Q&A streaming on his social media with Jim Gray asking him a few questions that are pre-written. So that's how it goes.
Sponsored by Budweiser.
Yeah, exactly. Well, Sage, look, we all know you just want to get in there for the free access to the soda machine. And you've been known to really enjoy the men's room there in the media room. Yeah, to bring your news.
I hear the media room's back open, gentlemen. That's what I hear.
I hear your nameplate is still up there, and we know how much you love to go take the newspaper and disappear in the men's room there for a while. So all good, Ira. All good. Your complaints have been noted, and we can take them up with management.
Let's talk about this football team. Let's talk about this.
Here we go.
All right. So here we go. Look, Will Golston is back. Signs a one-year, $4.5 million contract, less money than he made last year, less money than he made the year before, but he wants to be in Tampa, which he's made clear many times, and productive player, but that's a key cog, Ira. Ndamukong Suh, we'll see what they end up doing, but the Golston piece of the puzzle, now that it's done, how do you feel about it?
Well, Lee, what's interesting to me about Golston is he was a rather unheralded draft pick. Interesting backstory. I believe he grew up in an impoverished background. He's been a solid player. He has now been signed three times by the Buccaneers. Three separate contracts. Lee, I dare say in the last 20, 25 years, that hasn't happened very often with this franchise. Not very often. There are exceptions. You know, Lavonte David maybe comes to mind, but that's Lavonte David. We've called him a borderline Hall of Famer. Nobody's used that tag for William Golston. I think it's a nice signing, Lee, but I still think they need help. We're going to talk about it on this podcast. Suh is still out there. I don't really hear Suh being linked to a lot of teams. I think he's coming back when the smoke clears. Now, Lee, it might not be till May or even June. Who the heck knows with Suh? He is a bit of a mercenary, played for a bunch of teams, but he's still effective, and I think they need him because, in my mind, JPP's gone. And I think he may end up retiring. There doesn't seem to be too much of a market for JPP. Doesn't seem to be. And so, to me, that leaves Vita Vea, who's had some injury issues, and the Bucs are very careful with his snap counts, and I don't think that's going to change necessarily. So, in terms of that D-line, you know, Golston helps. But I still think they're short.
I'm not losing any sleep over the defensive line. Could the interior, you know, add a guy or two? Yeah, but I don't consider that to be a glaring need. Like, oh my God, they can't make the playoffs without one. I talked to a guy that does business with Suh, and he told me how much Suh really likes Tampa. I know he's been talking to Bucks coaches, assistants, that what he needs to work on season to improve. All signs point that he's going to come back. It's just with Suh, you just got to cut a check. And I have no problem with that. You know, the guy's made millions and millions and millions of dollars betting on himself every year. And he's never missed a start due to an injury. And that's just extraordinary for a guy that's played as long as Sue. I think he's back with the Bucks. And say it again, I'll say it until the draft is over with. I'm convinced at some point, probably the second day, the Bucks will draft a defensive tackle. But I don't consider the defensive line a crying need like defensive back was 3 years ago with the Bucks.
I'm not buying it, Lee. I'm not buying it, and I'll tell you why. Steve, I've got the Bucks depth chart in front of me. I have it. And according to this depth chart, here are the names that are supposed to inspire confidence, Stevie. Vita Vea, William Golston, Raheem Nunez-Rochus, Joe Tryon-Shirinka, Anthony Nelson, Willington Pavilion, Benning Pate. Steve, it's thin. And unless Tryon-Shirinka makes a marked move where they trust him, especially on early downs in terms of the run, they're short, Steve. They're short. And when you're short on the D-line, your whole defense is short.
I agree with you about Tryon. But to me, Tryon is an outside linebacker. He's not one of the three down linemen. I'm talking about down linemen. Vea, Roaches, Will Golston, that's still three core guys, one of the best rushing defenses in the league. So I'm not on my hands and knees crying like, you know, when the Bucks drafted O.J. Howard, I was screaming bloody murder. They should somehow get Dalvin Cook.
Well, Sage, there's a lot to unpack here because Sue is on a deadline, very much so, in my opinion, because if he waits till after the draft to see where it's at and see if he can get himself some more leverage, he may be screwed. If the Bucks draft a defensive tackle in round one, you know, our draft guru, Sean Sullivan, pegged UConn defensive tackle Travis Jones as potentially that guy. But there are other guys. If they go defensive tackle round one, well, see you later, Sue. That's just going to be the reality. They're not going to pay him what he wants, and I don't think he's going to come back and play on the cheap, only because he really doesn't need to. I don't think one more decent year from Ndamukong Suh is going to make a difference in his Hall of Fame credentials. I just don't see it. He's got his Super Bowl. He went to his Super Bowl with the Rams. He's been on elite run defenses, some of the best in NFL history. He's made his Pro Bowls and his All Pros that he's not going to make again. So I don't see his urgency. And if he waits too long, you know, the Bucks, I don't think, are going to pay him. And if they don't pay him, he's not going to come back and get his head knocked around for $2 million plus incentives. So it's an interesting angle, Ira. But my bigger question is the Bucks just invested all this money into Carlton Davis, $15 million. Yet they always say the priority is stopping the run. And that's been what's driven this defense, is stopping the run. So I'm really curious to see if that priority continues with the draft or with other free agents. There's still time to get these second-tier free agents, Ira. They could end up with a $3.5 million defensive tackle that we like in the rotation.
They could. Lee pointed to Sue's durability. I think that's very enticing from a Buck coaching standpoint. Bowles, the D-line coaches, you got to like the fact that the guy's always there. Six sacks from an interior D-lineman, that's solid. Two quick points. Lee, I don't like the idea of counting on a late first-round draft pick to contribute immediately. I don't like that idea.
I agree.
I think when the Bucks had their previous run from 97 to 02, I don't think they necessarily had that philosophy. They draft a Rondé Barber. He doesn't play much that first year. He learns. So I'm not sure that I'm totally on board like well, we got this guy out of Penn State at number 27. We're just going to plug and play him. Lee, the other point about Sue, and I think you'd agree, Lee, unlike a lot of guys in this league and a lot of Buccaneers, Lee, I don't think the fact of Brady's presence has that much of an impact on the Ndamukong Suh. It's interesting, Lee. I don't think he's the type of guy that says, well, wait a minute, Brady's here. I got to re-sign with the Bucs. I don't think that's going to be a big factor for him.
I totally agree. You used the perfect word earlier, mercenary. There's a negative connotation with the word mercenary, but he's not exactly that, but he's a, you know, pay me kind of guy, and it's been a smart bet. You know, I was thinking about this last night, and I was thinking about this morning, and you really hit the nail on the head, Ira. The Bucs are in a win-now mode. And you can say this about last year, too. The Bucs are in a win-now mode. When your quarterback is going to be 45, you're going to win now, or at least that's the focus. Can you expect a rookie to come in and be a factor? I don't know that. That's why I'm slightly, just slightly, slightly surprised they don't trade a first-round pick, although it's a late first-round pick. I'm surprised they don't trade that pick for a guy that you know is going to be on the field. You know he's going to contribute. You know he's going to be an asset, a proven guy. Now, yes, there's a salary cap involved. I get it. But I always wondered that. Like, how do they balance that? And should they balance that? Should they, you know, go ahead and draft a guy 27 and he may not really contribute for 2 or 3 years?
I think Lee makes a strong point, Steve. If the Bucs could get a veteran proven and give up the 27th pick in the draft, I don't think Buck fans would lose any sleep over that, Steve.
No, but I don't think you can be scared that, gosh, we won't know how to draft a guy that can contribute right away. I mean, rookies are contribute and thrive across the league every single year at every single position. I mean, and even Tony Dungy drafted Booger McFarland. He didn't throw him right into the starting lineup that first year. But the Buck, as you said, Ira, the Bucks don't need to throw a guy right into the starting lineup. I mean, you can rotate guys, and Golston and Vea and Nunez Roaches, these are versatile players, and I would not be afraid. They won a Super Bowl with plug-and-playing two rookies. Teams do it every single year.
Even with the retaining of Carlton Davis, which I think was critical because he is the best of what they have. Lee, would you be shocked if they drafted a corner at 27?
Not at all.
Me either.
Not at all, Ira. And but I do like the idea of drafting the defensive lineman. It sort of fits, even just strategically, with the way these executives look at building a team. I mean, they just decided to give Vita Vea the huge money. It's his fifth year. I mean, a rookie next to a fifth-year guy is a good fit contract-wise, you know, because when his money comes up, maybe the other guy's washed out after a lot of years. I don't know. But do you agree with me that Sue has a deadline, that he's playing a game of chicken here with the draft coming up?
Yeah, that's interesting, Steve. Guys, let me throw this out at you. And I know it sounds crazy after the 2 years that we saw here in Tampa with this guy. But you said it in passing, and it's amazing that you could make a passing reference to this and nobody cares about it, Lee. And the reference was, you got a 45-year-old quarterback. Lee, he's 45 this summer. 45. And he's the main reason that the Bucs are the odds-on favorites to represent the conference in Glendale, Arizona. Nobody questions that. Brady. I mean, they were an afterthought 2 weeks ago, Lee, an afterthought. In Vegas.
Peering into the abyss.
Lee, the guy is 45. I mean, doesn't he have to slow down at some point, Mr. DeKemper? I mean, we don't even think about these things. We don't even think about it.
Would you rather have a 45-year-old Tom Brady and maybe he slows down? And mind you, him slowing down is probably better than Tua, who's, what, 23, 24?
Steve, I guess we are so far into uncharted territory with this Brady guy that I just throw it out there that the guy is a human being, Steve. He's 45. You know, you got to take a step back, Steve, at some point.
You do, but you can't right now. I mean, it is win now mode. He's at the top of his game. And, you know, a very interesting chatter this week. Ira, Jason Light made a little bit of the rounds to Sirius XM NFL Radio and Sirius Mad Dog Radio. Talked to Adam Schein, talked to Charlie Weiss. You know, one of the things that he told Charlie Weiss is that he said, quote, whether it's an extension or an adjustment, we'll see where that goes. And he's talking about Tom Brady's contract. So like we've already talked about on the podcast, the biggest mystery here is whether Brady is willing to commit to the Bucs for 2023 and beyond. They need to know that now because that would affect the draft. That would affect a lot of things. Are they going to believe that they're rebuilding next year? I mean, there's just a lot to go into it. But yeah, it's amazing that you're even talking about a massive contract extension for a 45-year-old quarterback. Nobody's been down this road.
Before this podcast is over, let's do it right now, Lee. Let's diffuse a couple of these more ridiculous suggestions that are out there, Lee. There's two of them that I think are absolutely absurd, absolute nonsense. crazy stuff, Lee. Crazy stuff. One, some joker from Boston who apparently was one of the first guys that said Brady was going to sign with the Bucs. I don't even remember that, but maybe he did. He's throwing it out there that Brady could very well end up this season, not next season, and not 2023. This season, throwing the ball to Jalen Waddle and Hill.
Cheetah
on the Dolphins. Absolute nonsense. Absolute trash, Lee. Makes absolutely no sense. If Brady ever asked for a trade right now, before the season, to the Dolphins, he would absolutely destroy his reputation. Absolutely destroy it.
I love what Jeff Howe, the Athletic, did. Just to play it safe, he started working the phones, his intel, and, you know, working the text. His intel was, rather than Brady trying to squeeze the Bucks to trade him to Miami, he's still recruiting guys to come to Tampa Bay.
Absolutely. And Steve, do the Dolphins necessarily have better targets and more targets, assuming Gronk comes back, than the Bucks? I reject that notion also. An offensive line. And Steve, here's the other one. And this is even more crazy. But it's got some traction. It's got some traction. The Bucks should immediately sign Baker Mayfield. Lee, what are these people smoking? Well, what the hell's going on, Lee? I mean, these people are crazy.
I'm not saying that's that crazy about Mayfield, and this is why. I thought that one earlier when you're talking about Brady being 45. Your favorite subject is backup quarterback. That's one of your favorite subjects, Kyra. That and the backup running back. I thought that's where you were going. And Adam Schein asked Jason Light about that. And Adam Schein said, he goes, this sounds nuts. Light never said no about Mayfield. And I'm thinking, okay, let's think about this. If Cleveland's willing to eat Baker Mayfield's contract, would you trust Baker Mayfield as a backup over Gabbert and Kyle Trask? Personally, I would. Gabbert's never won a playoff game. Trask hasn't even taken a snap. You know, Light admitted on the same show that he's open-minded to adding a veteran quarterback, which tells me Gabbert's not as, you know, the guy who was going to start for the team a couple weeks ago may not even be on the roster at all this year. So when I heard that and he didn't say no about Mayfield, you know, Shine asked him twice, and the second time Light said, well, I don't want to talk about someone that's on another team's roster, and I get that. It's tampering. I would trust Baker Mayfield if Cleveland's going to eat the contract as a backup over Gabbert and Trask. I don't think it's going to happen, but if it did, I could see the logic behind it.
Steve, I'm not saying that in a five-game stint where you're filling in for Brady that I wouldn't rather have Baker Mayfield than Trask or Gabbert. I'm not saying that, Steve. What I am saying is, in terms of contract, in terms of Mayfield's temperament, where he's not going to see the field, Steve, no chance unless Brady's injured, unless he's in a mop-up role. Yeah, get a veteran quarterback, but you don't step up and get Baker Mayfield. Steve, we're talking about Brady maybe playing 2 or 3 years. I don't see where it makes any sense.
Well, look, the whole thing is stupid. You'd have to trade for Mayfield, which means you'd be absorbing his contract, and the Bucs are in no position to take on an $18 million backup quarterback. And if he gets cut, okay, well, anybody who gets cut, you can take a look at. If he's willing to play for $1 million plus incentives or Blaine Gabbert money, sure, bring him in. I mean, what's the harm? But until he's cut, it's just stupid. And, of course, nobody knows how many games Deshaun Watson might be suspended. So the Browns may need Mayfield. They may let him run through training camp and play, and then trade him at the deadline or cut him, and then hand the ball to Watson, and maybe they go 3-3 without Deshaun Watson with Mayfield.
I know this is not a Browns podcast, but that seems crazier that the Browns keep Mayfield with his attitude when he's a backup to Watson, hoping that Mayfield can take Watson's place when he's suspended.
You know, and Lee, you mentioned the attitude, and that could be a factor also in the Bucs, summarily rejecting any notion of adding them.
Are we really? Are we?
But he's not a great locker room presence, Lee. He's not.
Sage, are we really sure the guy's got a bad attitude? Are we really sure of that?
Oh, look how he pops off all the time. His teammates hate him. I mean, what's his face? Odell Beckham is willing to go back to Cleveland now that they got Watson for a quarterback, and all the smoke come out of Cleveland is he's an a-hole. Didn't the Browns put out that they, I don't know how they put it out, maybe they dropped it to Mary Kay Cabot, that they wanted an adult in the room? So they got a guy who's allegedly molesting 22 women. There's your adult.
Steve, if I had to bet, I would bet on Gabbert and Trask being on the roster.
Absolutely. Absolutely, Sage. And when you have a disaster in your home, a flood, a fire, mold, major mold damage, you need someone you can trust immediately, especially when there's water damage in your business, wherever it might be. You need to call Florida's Elite Restoration 24/7. They will come out and give you a free assessment in your home, help you work with your insurance company. Owner Josh Martin of Florida's Elite Restoration, he has worked as an adjuster for 14 years, so he knows all the sides, all the angles of how people try to rip you off and the insurance companies try to deny claims. That's who you need to call. Florida's Elite Restoration, floridaselite-restoration.com. If you're a business owner and you have clients like a property manager or a plumber, reach out to Josh Martin. He'll meet with you personally to talk about how he can help you service your clients honestly in their time of need and feel great about doing it. floridaselite-restoration.com. Don't mess around.
Florida's Elite Restoration. floridaselite-restoration.com.
Now, Ira, let me throw this out to you just because it's I got an email on it with the approach of the NFL owners meetings. And, you know, this is where all the owners gather and they have all these committees that they discuss rule changes from competition to everything else. And the NFL sent out a list of the committees. You know, there's everything from college relations to future of football, player safety, health and safety. There's a million committees. So what committees are the Glazers on? This is kind of funny, I think, or at least telling. I'm looking through this list. Okay, there's a Glazer first appears on the finance committee. All right.
Yeah.
And then we scroll down and Joel Glazer's the head of the international committee. He's the actual chairman of that. There's also Joel Glazer's also on the legalized sports betting committee.
Oh boy.
And then the only other two committees where you find a Glazer, there are two media related committees and they're on there. So media, gambling, and money. That's the Glazers' focus in the NFL, which is just a little bit funny, Ira. But it does tell me that you can voice your media complaints directly to them.
Steve, does Ed's name pop up on those committees? Do we have an Ed Glazer sighting, Steven?
We have Brian Glazer on one of the media committees, and Joel Glazer is the name on all the other committees.
Well, you and I will be discussing media with Joel Glazer in person, Stevie, in person.
All right, Ira. So look, other developments with the Bucks, and it stood out because of your past comments, Ira, as well as the comments on national radio yesterday. And first, I want to remind everybody, you need a finance committee. They've got one for you right there at Bill Curry Ford. Nobody goes home without a vehicle. If you need one, Sean Sullivan makes sure of that. The GM at Bill Curry Ford, they actually self-finance, dealer finance people at Bill Curry Ford, in addition to having great relationships with many financial institutions. Don't mess around. Reach out to Sean Sullivan. You can email him. Tell him your situation. He will help you as very best he can. And they go above and beyond at Bill Curry Ford in every way. Ira, so we've joked on this podcast that, hey, every team does its salary cap magic. They work it. They do what they have to do. And you said, I never want to hear about the salary cap again because the Bucks are just pulling all these rabbits out of a hat. But we do know there is an eventual end of the line. And Pat Kerwin, the former Jets executive who's on Sirius Radio as their top analyst every weekday, he was talking yesterday, unsolicited, nobody even asked him. He was just talking about, hey, the Bucks are really, they were really at the end of the line here, and they still have to sign Gronk, and they need money for their draft picks and for emergency players, and they probably need other players. But he pointed out that the Bucks have 59 players on the roster. That's one of the lowest numbers in the NFL, and that they need to fill that roster, of course, before the 90-player training camp. And they just don't have any money to even, you know, put decent players in there. And he said, sure, they might have a ton of undrafted guys and their picks that they're planning to throw in there. But he said it's That's not a lot of players, and they're really cutting it all the way down. And he projects the Bucks will have cuts, that some cuts are coming here just because they are at an end of the line, especially if they want to he believes they'll bring back Gronk, but they're just at a very end of whatever this rope is. Do you think the Bucks make some of these bold moves, Ira, and boot the kicker, boot the punter, save money in areas where they are just willing to gamble? Or what do you think happens here?
It's funny, Steve. You focused on the one guy that I was thinking about, which is Suck Up. Suck Up better watch himself, Lee, in training camp. He better watch himself. He didn't have a good camp last year, but they stuck with him because he was solid during the championship season. So he doesn't have that pedigree going forward because he was kind of ordinary last season. He better have a good training camp. But, Lee, on overall, in terms of salary cap, I'm going to harken back to something that Lee's talked about many times in the last year or two about this organization. So, Lee, I'll say it before you do. This brain trust from light on down, Greenberg, they've earned, in your words, street cred, that they know what they're doing. They plan ahead. They're not caught unexpected. And if they have to drop Suck Up and this other guy does a nice job, nobody's going to say a word. Nobody's going to say a word because, I mean, Suck Up, say what you want, Lee. He doesn't even try any field goals past 50 yards. I mean, that's a problem, or it can be a problem. So we shall see. But, Lee, in general terms, with the salary cap, I'm not overly worried about this franchise. I'm not.
No, I'm not worried about the franchise. I'm not worried about the salary cap. Suck Up. I'm keeping him because I'm scarred for life watching what the Bucks tried out for kickers from 2014 up until 2020. No, I'm not getting rid of Suck Up. I'm sorry. You can call me names. You can call me this. You can call me that. My response is, Bada Brizna. That's my response.
Steve, one more quick point about Gronk in particular. And I don't want to hear any nonsense from you two gentlemen in pushback. If Gronkowski isn't a member of the 2022 Bucks, it's not going to be because of the salary cap. It's going to be that he's going to retire. How do you like that, Steve? It's not going to be salary cap. They will find a way, if he wants to come back, to fit him in. Steve, and you know I'm right about that.
Oh, I agree with you 110%, Ira. Just we could see some cuts. It's naive to think we won't.
We could.
Other teams who manage the cap well, they make cuts. They do lose players. So, I don't think we can be in a fantasy land here. Something might happen. But one thing I put out there, Ira, not that it would really help the salary cap very much, and I wasn't expecting some of the response that came from it. I was sitting here wondering, why are they even keeping Scotty Miller? I mean, maybe he's got a team out there that would say, ooh, we don't have a home run threat, and this guy caught a couple of big passes, and maybe he could help open things up for us, and seems like a good guy, last year of his contract. Because, Ira, I look at him, I look at the Bucks' top three receivers, and then they just re-signed Breshad Perriman, which we agreed was a big endorsement. I know, based on my dealings at the Combine, and all the people I've talked to, they really like Cyril Grayson, and he's as cheap as they come. Tyler Johnson is more versatile than Scotty Miller. So that's your top six. And they love Jalen Darden. He's number seven. So, yeah. I mean, what is Scotty Miller really competing for here? Maybe you could find a team that, hey, we'll take this guy. He's a deep threat. He's got decent hands. We'll take him for a fifth-round pick, help Jason Light move up in the draft. Is that so crazy?
No, he's hanging by a thread. Scotty Miller's hanging by a thread. Tyler Johnson's got more security than Scotty Miller. Lee, Scotty Miller hits the open market. It's ho-hum, just a guy. Maybe you can get a sixth-round pick. Maybe. You know who should be his agent, Lee? Chris freaking Collinsworth should be his agent. I never saw anybody rhapsodize about Scotty Miller like Chris Collinsworth in that Rams game. He was talking about the guy like he's a cheater. I mean, what's going on with this Collinsworth?
A cheater
guy?
Or a cheetah?
Well, the second coming of Tyreek Hill.
Yeah. I'm half having fun with you and half serious because I didn't know what you meant.
Scotty Miller did absolutely nothing last year. Absolutely nothing.
I know you're talking about Ira, and I don't disagree, but I can't say absolutely nothing. On offense, he was a non-factor, no doubt about it. He did make key plays on special teams, and the Bucs are always talking about how they need to improve their special teams. And if you really press the Bucs, they will tell you that if a guy is not a starter, he better be able to play special teams. Scotty Miller helped turn that Colts game because of his special teams play. I want to say, was it Buffalo he made a key play on special teams? Maybe it was the Eagles game. It was Eagles game where he forced a fumble. I know he made a couple great plays in the 2020 season. That's the 2020 season. This is 2022. There's a reason why he was absolutely buried on the depth chart. And until the Bucs had like five injuries at receiver, did he finally get to see some targets. And that was against the Rams in the second half when even Tyler Johnson went out. Now, do I think Miller is a better receiver than Tyler Johnson? Yeah, but as you pointed out, Ira, Tyler Johnson's a slot receiver. And Miller cannot play inside. Forget about it. He's not an inside guy. You know, the slot position receiver is very important in Bruce Arians' offense.
Perriman's valuable because he can do both. I mean, Miller's really on the outs. I mean, I just think somebody, Ira, might look at him and say, you know, he caught over 30 balls in 2020. Plus, he had the playoff production. He averaged 20 yards a catch, which I believe was a franchise record. You know, it's just a special situation there where they don't need him. Maybe they can get something. I hope they're proactive with it if there's even a market for him.
I think I understand why fans got bent when you suggested this about Scotty Miller. And you're not wrong, but this is where fans got bent. And I sort of sympathize with them, if not agree with them, for this angle. There's no way I could sit here and justify Scotty Miller being cut over Jalen Darden. Jalen Darden, as we speak right now, has shown no reason why he's on an NFL roster. None. He can't return. He can't catch. He's pretty much worthless. I know Arians loves the guy for whatever reason. And I hope this year he can justify Arians' faith in him. But from what we've seen of him as a rookie, he had no business being on NFL field. Jaden Mickens was easily a better returner than Darden. Darden showed nothing on return. He showed nothing on offense. Whereas Miller has shown something on special teams, has shown something on offense. So I think the anger isn't necessarily, Steve, that you suggested Miller should be cut. The anger and angst from Bucs fans was, how does Miller get cut and Darden survive?
That's pretty well said, Lee. Pretty well said.
All right, Sage. Now look, we've got more ahead coming with the Bucs this week. Ronald Jones heads to Kansas City. Tyreek Hill explodes the market by essentially demanding a trade and gets one for top dollar, extraordinary top dollar. And to me, it tells you that I think the players have reached a new level between Deshaun Watson basically getting in trouble and then getting rewarded better than anybody ever has in the NFL history. And then Tyreek Hill forces his way out. I think this is emboldening to the players, but for me, it highlights how, hey, a guy like Mike Evans could pull the same kind of thing. Not that he would, but he could, and he could probably be making a lot more money than he is now. The Bucs are very lucky to have him.
Absolutely. Steve, you're reinforcing what I said a couple weeks ago. Lee, how fortunate they have. The Bucs are to have guys like Evans and Godwin. They're not common. I think they're the rarity. And here's Tyreek Hill. Lee, look at it like this. Nobody took a chance on this guy with his checkered background, except Kansas City. They made him a lot of money. He's a hell of a player. I believe he's the fastest guy I've ever seen on a football field. I'll stick with that. Maybe Deion Sanders. Maybe. I'm not knocking him as a player. But, Lee, they got Mahomes. You got an elite quarterback. You're paying him. And now this guy wants to be the highest paid wide receiver. Yeah, he's one of the best wide receivers in the league. I don't know that he's better than Davante Adams. I don't know that. I don't know that he's better than Cooper Kupp. I don't know that. But they had to make a decision. I don't think it's a terrible move from a Chiefs standpoint because, Lee, when you got a guy like Mahomes or a guy like Brady, for that matter, and I was going to add this to the Scotty Miller argument. You guys might not agree on this, but, you know, I remember this guy, Chris Hogan, Lee, Chris Hogan in New England, and people were talking about him. Hey, Hogan's making plays, helping them to a Super Bowl win. And then
when he left Brady's, umbrella, you never heard from the guy. And I think Scotty Miller's one of those guys. He goes to another team, you're not going to hear about him. Brady's got a way of making these guys great. Now, I don't say that Tyreek Hill's going to be a stiff in Miami. I'm not going to say that. But I don't think he'll get the same production that he had with the Chiefs. This is becoming more and more of a players' league. The NBA certainly like that, and I think the NFL's tilting in that direction.
Ira, how far are we, and maybe my definition of the Larry Bird rule is screwed up, but how far are we away? I know that the current CBA is signed for another, 9 years? How far away are we from having a Larry Bird rule type bylaw with the NFL where quarterbacks do not count against the cap?
Well, they've done everything in their power, Lee, to separate quarterbacks from all other positions in terms of rule proposals, Lee, and in terms of protections. It's all geared towards the quarterback, and when you ask them why, it's because they attract the eyeballs, and they're by far, they might be the most important position in professional sports. Tough to argue against that. As the years go by, and look at the Deshaun Watson deal, for example, they're going to take up 25% of a team's salary cap. That's an inordinate number, Steve, and it makes it tough to build a team around it, and that's why another reason that the Bucs are so fortunate to have a guy like Brady.
Yeah, they may end up having a separate cap for quarterbacks. You just don't know. I think that would make sense in a lot of ways, but I guess the system kind of makes sense now in some ways because, hey, if you're going to pay quarterbacks more, then you just pay everybody else less. Get that tremendous disparity between the young cheap quarterback and the $50 million quarterback. It is screwy for the league. I don't know. They have to figure that out somehow. I don't know how they do that, but that's for smart guys on the finance committee like Joel Glazer, not me, Ira.
There you go.
Ira, I thought of you the other day, and we'll close on this. It cracked me up when I heard it. But there's also two other important points tied to it. So Logan Ryan met the media, and he talked about reaching out to Rondé Barber and over the years and being a pest to Rondé Barber and always trying to drag him to dinner. And Rondé's probably sick of him because he's been picking his brain for years trying to figure out the secret to longevity in the league and other things at the position. That got me immediately thinking of, it took years, literally years, for Vernon Hargraves to even say, hey, Rondé, would you like to get together? Not even actually get together. And meanwhile, Rondé was on site watching film and stuff like that. And so he probably knows, man, this guy Logan Ryan for the Patriots is in my ear left and right. And this guy Hargraves won't even call me up or won't even say, hey, let's get together. So that was kind of telling, especially when you magnify that to the story you've told that Jimmy Giles, the Buccaneers Ring of Honor tight end, had put the word out that O.J. Howard, hey, I'd like to meet with you. I'd like to counsel you. I'd like to go over your game. And Howard never reached out. So that was kind of stunning. But the other thing, Ira, was Logan Ryan saying that he's a pickleball obsessed person. He loves pickleball. And just like you, Ira, pickleball.
Well, the way my tennis game's going, Lee, I may transition to pickleball sooner than later. Lee, on the Rondé Barber factor, it's interesting. When Barber was playing for the Bucs and had established himself as a great player, say from 2001, 2002 on for the rest of his career, Lee, every time the Bucs drafted a corner, and Aqib Talib comes to mind in particular, which I believe was 2008, and that turned out to be a great pick. You know, Aqib Talib had a heck of a career. He did for several teams. But, Lee, when they drafted Talib, and you could see the guy had a lot of talent, Lee, it was obvious. And I would say, can he hang around Rondé Barber in terms of work habits and breaking down film and maximizing his effectiveness as a corner? Because I always used to say Rondé Barber was the smartest player in the National Football League in terms of football sense. And I stand by it. I think from a physical standpoint, from a size standpoint, speed, rather ordinary Rondé Barber. He's not a blur out there, but nobody broke down film like Rondé Barber. And I love the fact that Logan Ryan looked at Barber as a mentor. I didn't know that when the Bucs acquired Ryan. I love those quotes. Rondé's always available to help. He bleeds Buccaneer. So Logan Ryan's stock just went up markedly in
in my opinion. I knew he was good, and now I think he could be really good for the Bucks.
Well, Logan Ryan admitting that he's a pest with Rondé Barber, and your story, Ira, about how O.J. Howard never would meet with Jimmy Giles, even though Jimmy Giles was like basically begging, hey, I'll do whatever you want. I'll help you out. We'll go over film, whatever. Vernon Hargreaves, it sounds like almost out of desperation, he gave up and threw in the towel and decided to talk to Barber, and that their careers, Howard's and Hargreaves, they never reached their potential. Logan Ryan still playing some years later. I think that demonstrates each player's drive to be the best they can be.
Well said, Lee, and I hope Carlton Davis listened to what Logan Ryan said and takes his cue from Ryan in terms of talking to Rondé Barber.
Carlton Davis, in my, I don't know, dozen times I've talked to him or whatever, always impressed me as a very bright, very smart guy.
Yeah.
And it would not surprise me if he's talked to Rondé Barber or if he's talked to other NFL veterans and tried to get some tips on how to improve. That would not surprise me. He impresses me as that kind of a person.
I agree with that, Lee. I do.
Well, Davis also has said many times that huge influence on him as a rookie was Brent Grimes, very grateful to Grimes. And this past year, he had Richard Sherman to lean on and pick his brain. So he's had at least some opportunities there. Ira, I'll close with this because it is draft season. And when I think of the Logan Ryan thing, I can't help but think, okay, so he came out in 2013 and he probably got connected with Rondé Barber through Greg Schiano, who coached him at Rutgers. But somehow the Bucks didn't draft him in the third round back then. They took Mike Glennon, which is just, you know, stunning. And when you think about it, knowing that Schiano was a defensive backs guru, that was his strength. Logan Ryan sitting there, they don't draft him. And after Glennon, again, since his draft season, the Bucks could have had same round. Teron Armstead, who just signed a massive tackle deal with the Dolphins, the longtime Saints Pro Bowler. They passed on Keenan Allen, which would have probably changed the trajectory of the organization. There are other players in that draft as well, Ira. So that's the Bucks of the lost decade.
We know why, in retrospect, why they drafted Glennon.
Yeah, because they're idiots. That's the retrospect.
Well, they drafted Glennon because Freeman was the head case, and no one but people inside the building knew that. So they were CYAing themselves, waiting for Freeman to melt down, which he did.
Now I'll say the Glazers were too cheap to open the purse strings and sign a big time veteran quarterback to push Freeman or be there when he melted down. That's what I'll say.
That's fair. That's fair.
And Lee, I'll say this in closing. Given Isbit's recent remarks to close this podcast, the one guy who should not listen, Lee, should not listen, is Mark Dominic. Don't listen, Mark. I'm giving you a heads up.